Isaiah chapter 40. And the theme is God comforts his people. Comforting others is not easy, is it? We don't often know what to do or what to say. I googled how to comfort someone, and here's the first article that came up from a blog called Insightful. A few slides here. How do we comfort someone? What should I do? What should I say? Witness their feelings. I know this must be a hard time for you. I hear you, empathy. Affirm that their feelings make sense. Of course you're upset. Draw out their feelings in order to better understand what they feel. Tell me what happened. How did that make you feel? And the big question of why. Let's avoid that question and discussion. Don't minimize their pain or focus only on cheering them up. Cheer up. Everything's going to be okay. God's got it. Offer physical affection if appropriate. Affirm your support and commitment. I care about you and I'm here for you. So that's all well and good. It's some helpful wisdom there. But we Christians have more. We have God and we have God's comfort. The theme and context of today's passage is found in verses 1 and 2 there on the screen. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Chapter 40 of Isaiah marks a change or transition in the book of Isaiah. From this point, it looks very much towards the future. There have already been prophecies in the first half of the book that look to the future, but the second half is very much future-focused. There are less historical references. You may remember from a couple of weeks ago that chapter 39 closed with Hezekiah, king of Judah, showing envoys from Babylon the riches of his kingdom. And the word of God came through Isaiah from verse 5 of chapter 39. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord." And this indeed took place. In 587 BC, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, including the temple of the Lord. The Jews were taken into exile in Babylon. Isaiah's 8th century prophecy looks to and beyond 587. Chapter 40, verse 2 here, that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, speaks of this destruction and exile. Verse 1 and what follows looks beyond destruction and exile. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her there is something more. Hope beyond judgment. And it is comfort based on a promise. Something that I have personally found difficult when going through hard times is when people tell me that it's all going to be okay, that things are going to get better. How do you know, I think? Sometimes things don't get better. Sometimes God wants things to get harder before they get better. Sometimes he wants to humble me further, make me more dependent on him. We just have to be so careful about making promises like it will get better. Are you so sure about that? Thankfully, one thing that we can be completely sure about are the promises of God. God's comfort involves speaking promises. Promise one, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. We'll see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Lord is going to act gloriously. He is going to do something for all to be seen. It's going to be like when the Lord redeemed Israel from Egypt in the time of Moses. We might say there is going to be a new Exodus. Wow, that's big. A new Exodus. And how can we be so sure that he will fulfill this promise? Well, it is the mouth of the Lord that has spoken. And when he speaks, he does. When he makes a promise, he fulfills it. His promises are truly comforting because they give us real hope in the face of despair, destruction, exile. Verse 6, a voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord, the word of God, endures forever. We hear this reading at funerals because it gives us comfort and hope. Yes, we are finite, very much so, but God is not, and neither is his word. His word is enduring. His promises never fail. This is so reassuring, comforting, hope-filled, even at a funeral. Promise two. The sovereign Lord will tend his flock. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Again, God is coming. He is going to act. He's going to intervene in human history. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. And what's he going to do when he comes? He's going to rule mightily. He's going to bring reward. He's bringing recompense, that is compensation, if you like, for her hard service. The sovereign Lord is powerful beyond all comprehension, as we shall see, yet so powerful but so gentle. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The Lord is coming to shepherd his people, gathering, carrying, gently. We know from our Old Testament history that he did it. He did it. There was a second Exodus from Babylon. The Jews were in exile for 70 years, but they returned. King Cyrus of Persia, who conquered Babylon, sent them home. The Lord worked. He acted through human agents, the kings of empires, to achieve his purpose. To shepherd his people home, back to Jerusalem. the city of God in fulfillment of his promises made through Isaiah. But there is another layer of fulfillment, as I'm sure you are well aware. For what was John the Baptist's message? Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord came to act in an even greater way in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he, Jesus, is our good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. It's how much he loves us. He laid down his life for us only to take it up again. He gathers us. He carries us. He gently leads us out of exile back to God, because of course there is a worse and more dreadful exile than what Judah experienced at the hands of Babylon. That is being separated from God and facing the prospect of being cast out of the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the most dreadful of fates. Jesus, the good shepherd, saves us from this fate, gently leading us into his everlasting kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, Jesus says in the Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount. Our exile is over. Our exile is over. We have returned to the Father. We have true comfort and true hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be so sure? Well, the power and wisdom and sovereignty of the one who has promised us an eternal future. I'm going to read quite a few verses now from that center section of Isaiah that we didn't hear read. We heard the first part, we heard the ending. I want to work our way through the center of it because it builds a picture of the one who makes the promise. It's very reassuring. God is all-powerful. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? That was verse 13 and 14, if you've got it open in front of you. From verse 15, God is all wise. Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? God is all wise. God is sovereign over the nations, achieving his perfect plan and purpose. Verse 15, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. God is incomparable to idols. Verse 18, with whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. God's not wood or gold. There's only one true God, the enthroned King of heaven and earth. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground Then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. And lastly, God is the Holy One, the creator and sustainer of all things. To whom, verse 25, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Brothers and sisters, this is the one who comforts his people with his promise. Sorry, there's meant to be a blank one there. The one who gives us real hope. This was true for the faithful remnant of Isaiah's day who were soon to experience exile and return, the second exodus, and it's even more true for us who've experienced the new exodus in the Lord Jesus. God fulfills all of his promises in Christ. We can trust him. We can lean on him for comfort and hope in our suffering. It has been quite a week, hasn't it? We had Sheila Marshall's funeral. We had the terrible news from the Charlesworth family regarding their son, Troy. We know Deb Atwell had a setback getting COVID, delaying her vital surgery. Others of you are experiencing tough times. Health issues, caring for loved ones who have health issues. There is a lot going on. During the week, I was able to share the following verses on a visit with someone experiencing such a tough time. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It begins this way. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. I mean, sometimes we are tempted to feel as though God does not care. Where are you, God? Why is this happening? What is going on? Why? Isaiah's answer. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Who can tell me where that is? Manavale Headland, yeah. You seen them paragliding off there? Pretty impressive as they charge their way to the edge of the cliff. For the wind to come off the ocean and up the headland and lift them up, and up they go. And they head north, swing back around right down into Warriewood, come back racing along the cliff. Must be an amazing experience to have the wind get under the sail and lift you up and off you go. Isaiah tells us that we will soar with wind beneath our wings, to quote a song, like eagles. Eagles are powerful, aren't they? Strong. We have the Spirit of God lifting us up, giving us strength so that we can keep going when the going gets tough. You may feel weary, thoroughly weary. You may feel weak, extremely weak, helpless perhaps. But there is comfort and strength. and hope in the promise of God. In 1 Peter, the apostle reminds us that as Christians, we are aliens and strangers in the world. We are living in exile because our true home is in heaven. We are citizens of that kingdom. In this world, we suffer. It is inevitable. But our suffering is not without purpose. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to have suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." God is refining our faith, increasing our dependency upon him. Our hope is secure. God's power will shield us when we suffer. He's going to take us right through to the end. Nothing can take away our heavenly inheritance, not even death. So we have true comfort and hope in Christ. Lastly, the New Testament teaches us that God comforts us in our suffering so that we can then in turn comfort others in theirs. From 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." I'm sure that you know this experience yourself. When you've faced something difficult and you've had the support of others, Christian brothers or sisters, and brothers and sisters, what a difference it makes when someone can come around you and gently share with you. Having been through the same or similar experience themselves, what a mercy that is, what a gift from God that is. So what to remember when you are suffering? Isaiah 40, verse 29, "The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." What to say or do when a brother or sister is suffering? Listen. Yes, listen. Care. Absolutely care. Help, practically, definitely, where possible. Pray, as we have been this week. Keep praying. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power. It's the Lord's strength, so we pray. Speak tenderly. Share your experience of God's faithfulness, if appropriate, and gently guide your friends, your family member to the Lord. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Our future is secure because God will fulfill his promise to us in Christ. This is where true and lasting comfort is found.